get to the Gemara on Kuf Chaf Aleph on the base. Okay. Ariel, so how did this come up here, this Shuvah Mepakasa?
So it's based on the issue of that you, when you want to do the Shemesh Basar, so Tosfot asks the question that, you know, why is that an issue? Because you brought that up earlier.
Yeah. Now, how could there be Kabbalah's Tumah when? So how could there be Kabbalah's Tumah when the when we're talking about an animal which is still alive? The Shas Negias Asakin Bo. That's the question. So the assumption of the question is an assumption which seems pretty solid, namely Ariel, that. That a Baal Chai is not Mekabel Tumah.
Right, exactly.
Okay. And that seems to be, you know, like whatever we know about Tumah, you know, that's one of the things we're pretty comfortable with, that a Baal Chai is not Mekabel Tumah. Question is whether or not, in the context of this discussion, we're going to have to change our mind about that generally accepted principle. Is it possible that something can be Chai and be Mekabel Tumah at the same time? That's one question which we'd have to ask. The other question is, or maybe there are different definitions of chai, right? So Tosa gives two answers. You could read that very quickly, if you don't mind, Ariel. Avagav damrinan.
Avagav damrinan mekama rachazer chai achashin shamiga achazer.
Yeah. So first of all, it's an interesting little technical point, and that is that the our printed Tosas here says avagav damrinan mekama kuf chafalef homed base. And then all the people change it. They say, no, not Kuf Chaf Aleph Omid Beis, but Lamed Omid Aleph. Right, so what's that all about? Little editing mistake, or something going on here? What's on Lamed Omid Aleph, and what's on Kuf Chaf Aleph Omid Aleph? That's when the Gemara makes this grand statement, that is on Lamed Omid Aleph. That's why the people change the notation from Kuf Chaf Aleph Omid Beis to Lamed Omid Aleph, because Mefarchesed Arei Kechaya is actually a statement that appears on Lamed Omid Aleph. In what context?
The context of Hamad
of Haracha. Excellent. What's on Kuf Chaf Aleph Omid Beis, on the other hand? I mean, it's not a terrible mistake. It's not like they just picked out some random daf and it had nothing to do with anything, right?
In the context of
the Ramina. Well, I wouldn't just say it's the one of the contexts. I would say it's the main context for Mefarchesed.
Right.
In that, and you're right, it does touch on Eber Menachai, Chizkiya, and Rabbi Yochanan, which we'll get to soon. What else did we discuss on Kuf Chaf Aleph Omid Beis?
I mean, we're differentiating between
the different types of Tumah, and Tumah Ochlin, and Tumah. Well, the Mishnah on which the whole discussion appears on Kuf Yedzayin Omid Beis is the distinction between Tumah Ochlin. Tumas Nevela, very good. The Gemara speaks about Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan. We're going to read that in a couple minutes. Eber Menachai. What else? In that Gemara? Just subject headings. What? Well, that's the... Not just an explanation of the mission of Kuf Yedzayin Omid Beis, but what other issues? Hatzalah min Atuma, correct? Meaning whether or not the Hatzalah mituma blua, the status of tuma blua in the context of Mefarchesed, and what else?
Roveya.
Okay. So basically, well, I'm pointing out is. It's not that my job is to defend the typesetters or et cetera, but the citation of Kuf Chaf Aleph Omid Beis, when you're talking about the status of Mefarchesed, is not at all a bad makar. Especially since the final word on Kuf Chaf Aleph Omid Beis, again, they don't tell you what it's referring to, but the final word on Kuf Chaf Aleph Omid Beis, Michael, is? Oh, what did you want to ask first? Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to say that I think it also makes a lot of sense that the quote that the typesetter, I guess, brought Kuf Chaf Aleph Omid Beis.
I don't really know if it was a typesetter. Might
or whoever it was.
Yeah, right.
because on Lamed Omid Aleph, when everyone's asking where did they get this Mishnah from, post vote there says that it's from Kofiyad Zion, I would bet.
Excellent, exactly.
Kofiyad Zion, but it's basically quoted on, I mean, it's the same
thing. Kuf. Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you look on Lamed Amad, Michael's absolutely right. If you look on Lamed Amad Aleph, which is the Makor of Kechaya Lechol Devarah that they changed it to, also there says there's no such Mishnah. You're absolutely right. Right? Where does it say it? Ein Mishnah kein b'shum makom, el d'diekol ha-masis and d'arva rotev. V'tanah l'shokha b'hema t'mei, alo v'kachavim, v'archesed n'tama tumas ochlin, avalo Tumas Nevelos. You're absolutely right. So basically, if you look on Lamed Amud Aleph, Tosis tells you to look on Kufyud Zayin Amud Beis and Kufkaf Aleph Amud Beis. So it's not so terrible if our Tosis says Kufkaf Aleph Amud Beis. Again, why am I making a fuss about this? Because it might be very important. Okay, in what way, Ariel? Why am I focusing on this? And Michael just, you know, correctly pointed out there are more marmakomos. I mean, Lamed Amud Aleph is connected to Kuf Kaf Aleph Amud Beis, or is it? Right. Meaning, what's the question here? The implicit question, though. I'm just using the Dapim issue to highlight something. Michael.
You're saying that our Chesed Kechaya, saying it after relating to the din of Hamadu Aracha, like we see in Lamed Amud Aleph, or are we saying it just very expansively to everything you see into
the blue eye. Right. Are all these questions the same or not? And could you characterize all these questions as questions of whether or not Mifarcheses is Kechaya or not? Or there are several different questions here. Now, there might be several different questions and they still might be related to each other, but at least that would be an interesting issue. For example, the last line on Kuf Kaf Aleph Amud Beis is the Rovea issue, right, where the, just to, right, Kuf Kaf Aleph, we're going to read Kuf Kaf Aleph Amud Beis in just a minute, but the last line of the sugya on Kuf Kaf Aleph Amud Beis is Varova Chayiv Da'ena Metama Tumas Nevela. That's all it says. But when you look it up in the Rambam, where it appears, which is in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, right, and you look at some of the nosakalim there. Anybody have Yisurei Bia here? Okay, we'll go one by one in a minute, but the Magid Mishnah. Okay. So the Magid Mishnah, when he quotes a halakha, did I bring it? Yeah. No. I didn't bring that. Anybody have Yisurei Bia? Aleph or on the computer? Aleph, who has it? Who has the computer? With the Magid Mishnah you have? I think that's the latest version of it. It's just interesting to note. If not, you look it up. The. Go ahead.
Which
Aleph Yud Beis. Yisurei Bia Aleph Yud Beis. You have it? You have it? Go ahead. Josh, go ahead. Okay, so far this has nothing to do with us. Keep going. Right. Chop off the head. Exactly. So that's all the Rambam. So basically, the Rambam Paskin's like this last line of the Gemara, which basically says, which says that Rova Chayiv Daha Inu Metama Tumas Nevela. Okay, fine. But do you have Magid Mishnah there? Yeah, guys. So what does the Magid Mishnah say on this?
Okay.
Just the part on that. Just on the last part. Just on the part that we're interested in.
Well, the trefa was a hedrifer, and
from Yusham, Maditim Lavi commanded in Mashmesh meat, but he puttered Mashmesh one, the Mishum Hanavu, the Hoy Iglehana.
We'll get back to that, but keep going. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Shalaba, Shinim Rosh, name of Zayim, the Prophet.
So those words, Harei Kechayel L'chol Devareha, the Magid Mishnah inserted as if they're written in the Gemara in this context. Or in that context even, and that's absolutely not true. Actually, Tosis already partially did it. If you look at Tosis on Kuf Chaf Aleph on the base, again, which would work nicely with the, you know, with the Ha'ara that Michael made a second ago, how Lamed turns you to Kuf Chaf Aleph on the base. Tosis, when he talks about the question of Rova, so again, firstly, he attacks Rashi. We'll get back to that in a minute. Then he says, Tamim Shum Dechi Chayahu L'chol Devareha V'lekach Rova Chayah. Okay, the only reason I quoted the Magid Mishnah more than Tosas says v'tamahu. The Magid Mishnah makes it sound, if you just read the Magid Mishnah, you didn't know the Gemara, you'd think that the Gemara says that phrase in this context. Okay, basically, well, we're going to analyze it all in just a minute. But my point is just to start off with, is that are we dealing in this question? Mefarkaset is by definition like a complex situation, right? The animal doesn't have very long to live. Right, its days are numbered. Not days, its minutes are probably numbered. Basically, its vital force has been taken away. Al pidin, something has happened to it, which, you know, which means that it is, you know, basically either mace or omed lemace or enochai or something like that. It's an intermediate stage at best, and yet it's thrashing around. That's what mefarcheset means. It's, you know, has these spasms or thrashings. There's still some physical movement. A mechanical movement, and the question is, what is its status? So you're always going to have, you know, those kind of cases, and we're going to analyze them always from several points of view. It's chai, it's mace, it's in between chai and mace, it's both chai and mace, right? I'm not just throwing these off the top of my head. These are obviously the options. You know, between, you know, pure chai and pure mace, right, there can either be a limbo state, which is neither, or which is both, which is, you know, which is going to obviously dictate as far as different halachos are concerned. Now, some halachos maybe that require mace. There are other halachos for which it's sufficient if it's enochai. Right. For certain halachos, being both chai and mace at the same time is gonna work, because it's enough that it's also chai. For other halachos, it's not gonna work because what's important is that it's mace. So basically, you're gonna have to analyze a whole slew of halachos to see what the status of this is. I mean, you have other such phenomena, but not exactly the same as mefarcheses. What's the status of a trefa? What's the status of a goses? Except that a trefa and a goses obviously are really still alive. They're omed lemisa, but there's a question whether trefa chaya or trefa ena chaya, right? But basically, you know, it's in many respects, obviously, it's chai, you know, but omed lemus. Here you have something really much more difficult to define, mefarcheset. Is it chai or is it mace? So what we want to figure out is, are all these issues on the continuum of life and death? And even then, there could be significant differences, as we say, chai l'chol devareha but, meis l'chol hadvarim but, or something in between, or both. But it's possible that there's a whole different issue here to consider. And that is why this question of kuf chaf aleph or lamed, or whether lamed is exactly the same as kuf chaf aleph, in all of its aspects becomes very important. Namely, instead of this being a question of the continuum of chayim and misa, which is very fascinating, and which is certainly the issue in many things, it could be that there's something else going on here. And what would that be, Michael?
Something having to do with the role of Shechita.
Okay, good. And Michael, what do you think?
The role
of Shechita is absolutely a critical part of it, no question. Okay, those are distinctions that we'll get to in a minute. I mean, who's doing the shechita, what kind of animal is it, and why should that matter if it does matter? We know it matters somewhat. We'll get to that in a minute. I mean, it's clear from the Mishnah on Kuf Yudzayin that it matters, and it's even clearer from the Gemara in Kuf Chafalaf on the base that it matters. Meaning, Goy, Betahar, Yisrael, Betameh, we're just not sure, as opposed to what? As opposed to Nechira, or as opposed to also Yisrael B'tahar? So that we'll get to in a minute. That's a debate. But what I'm saying is there may be a whole different issue. Instead of the continuum of life and death, although it might be connected to it, Eli Chai?
Whether we can anticipate a future state?
Maybe, but that would be also... Right, I mean, that's true. Right, okay. I mean, whether you can... But which... The future state of life and death? Soon to be dead?
Yes.
Or no, you know, soon to be no longer alive?
Okay,
that's a different category. See, the question of soon to anticipate is like trefa and goses. In goses is chai, I mean he's living and he's breathing, right? The question is, are there limits and trefa, right? So, you know, on some level though, he's certainly chai. But you might say, you know, that he, does, you know, he doesn't have a future. So A, he doesn't have a future. B, he's omed lamos. But those are two different points also, but they're very obviously similar to one another. But either way, that still has to do with the continuum of life and death. Possibly we're talking about is a totally different issue, namely, which you just said a second ago, the last thing.
Anticipating chaloyos.
So which ones in particular? Just Eitan?
Is this food or is this...
Exactly. Aside from the question of chayim and maves, you know, which is always an important question... there's an even bigger question here. No, it's not a bigger question. But there's another question here, and that is this ochel? And the question, as it might be an overlapping question, but the question of the status of ochel, can you have something which is ochel and chai at the same time? Right? Can it be chefta shel basar or chefta shel ochel and still be chai? So you might say no, they just, you know, it's just those are mutually exclusive concepts. Even if they are mutually exclusive concepts, but that might be on a secondary level. In other words, if something is chai or chai gamor, it just can't be an ochel or it can't be basar. But still, what I'm basically saying is that the categories of ochel and non-ochel are not the same as the categories along the continuum of the line from, you know, full chayim, you know, with the future... and everything that goes with it, and absolute, you know, end of the line, mace. There may be impact of chayim and maves on ochel, but the category of ochel or non-ochel is totally separate. Right? It's a different a group of concepts completely. But if we're talking about tuma and tumas ochlin, so it's certainly legitimate to raise the question, you know, whether or not we're dealing with that group or with the previous group. Okay, having said that, so that's what we should be, you know, looking for. And is this all about chayim and maves? Is this about ochel and non-ochel? And if that's the case, then saying something is kechay l'chol advarim, you know, per se, may not be sufficient. Unless we assume that, again, a byproduct of being chay is to exclude being ochel. So let's go back now and analyze it in this way. And I think we'll also try to show that maybe there's an overlapping of concepts, which you said, which is that the shechita matters here. Right? The shechita can matter on two levels, clearly. One is shechita turns something into ochel. Right? That's what we've been discussing. It's machshir, and in some cases matir l'achila. But we can also understand that shechita has to do with nitilas neshama, in the Avos Malachos, when we want to signify Shechita, Shechita and Tilas Neshama are identical. Right? So the role of Shechita as a din misa and the role of Shechita as creating a shame ochel, right? These could be two different issues in our topic. Okay. So we start off, once again, having said that, let's go back to Tosis. Number one, do we ever find that a Baal Chai is Tame, or can be Tame? Do we ever find such a thing? What? Well, yeah, I mean, I understand that. So that's what we're talking about. Any other place where we find such a thing? That a Baal Chai could be, yeah.
I mean, not that it's halakhically Tame, but non-kosher animals are called.
Okay, right, that's true. That's true. I mean, even when they're alive. But again, Elikai will tell you that's because, you know, when we see them, you know, we kind of picture them with ketchup and mustard, and then we say, tamei. But I hear you. I hear what you're saying. That's a point. But let's more concretely. The truth is there's some debates in different Mishnayos and Gemaras here and there. Yeah, Ari?
Well, the Rambam, if an animal is not tame, it becomes a trefa, then even before it dies, it's considered a pet. It's royal tuma.
Okay, well, that could be based on like the same idea of Mefar Chesed.
Although this is trade, it's all, I guess, it might be based on Mefar Chesed, although if it was just Mefar Chesed, that alone would not be.
Maybe a combination. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, but that definitely would be linked to our topic. Do we ever find anywhere that, you know, a living, breathing animal possibly could be subject to Toma? Yeah?
Adam.
Adam. Well, Adam can become Tame, that's true. no, you're right. That's true. Adam can become Tame, but not a regular Balkan.
No.
Okay, that's a din of Tumasa. What about Dogim? Yeah.
We find by Go of Adofa.
What?
It's an animal. A live animal can still be Go. That's what the Grizz brings down.
In where?
In the in Zvachim, the one that the Chibos HaKadosh
grew. Right.
So he says that it can be able, and that it seems like he doesn't have any ground with.
Right.
So a second application, which he doesn't like so much, which is Chibos HaKadosh working to be master to be accountable to a Tumah.
Right. But the idea of Tumah Mechayim, that's possible. Okay, correct, that's good. And yeah, the Gemara Chul and Ayin Hay has several cases. Right.
One is the Dagim case.
Right. That's a Mishnah somewhere, I think, in Tara somewhere.
One says when it's trapped, one says when it dies.
Yeah.
Rabbi Kiva adds that it just can't live in, or it's not going to be able to
live. Yeah. So again, according to the Shita, is what is Beis Shammai, right? And Ayin Hayam and Aleph and Chulin, Beis Shammai says that that Dagim Shenitzodu are already Mekabel Toma. Correct? Then the Gemara has a discussion. Does that depend on whether Treifa is Chai or not? Do you have the Gemara there? Which is fascinating. Yeah. So again, one day in the Gemara there that maybe should depend on whether Trefa is Chaya or not. In other words, that Trefa ain't a Chaya would mean you could be Mistame already Mechayim. Now again, the animal is alive. You know, it's breathing, it's eating, it's doing you know, everything. It doesn't have a future. It's a trefa. But it is, you know, like if no one told it didn't have a future, it might even be smiling and you know, chirping and all the other good things that animals do. So the point is, and yet, if it's a trefa, or, well, even again, according to Beis Shammai, if it's nitzod, which means its destiny has been sealed, okay? And if it's trefa, that's obviously the next step. Not nitzod, I mean, you can just let it go. Trefa, again, its future is bleak, right? So that's going to be possibly mistame. But that the line of the Gemara about Shechita is very important. Again, one more time, Joe?
He says,
yeah. So again, the possible role of Shechita in this issue is very, very crucial. So that's one issue. The context of the Gemara is not a dogim, but why is it a chulin? Actually, that's a Mishnah in where? In Uktzin. Sorry. In Uktzin. But what's the context of the Gemara 9a and Aleph? Bei Mamakasha. What's Perek Bei Mamakasha about? Bei Mamakasha Leonid? Yoni?
The miscarriages.
Okay, but and also, what prominent topic there, which is discussed?
The question of Ben Pekua.
Ben Pekua. So you have a Ben Pekua, again. What is a Ben Pekua?
Yeah, expected mother, living child, and
exactly. So basically, there you have that's, you know, like maybe the best example. You have a living, breathing animal, but it was al-pidin nishchat. So is it makabel tum or not? So that's a machlokas between chachamim and what is Rabbi Shimon Elazar? Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, mitami tum asochen, mitzarech hechsher. Chacham mamre ena mitami tum asochen, mipnei shehu chai. Kol shehu chai, ena mitami tum asochen. That's where that line comes from. If you look at the Rambam here, he says Perik Beis Hukos Tumas Ochlin Halacha. What does that say? Vav. What's Perik Beis Hukos Tumas Ochlin Halacha Vav? All the halachos of our sugya about Mefarcheses. That's where the Rambam quotes the halacha that Chaya. It's fascinating, right? That's where the Rambam chooses to quote the halacha that Chaya is not Mekabel Tuma. So this Gemara addresses that question directly. The Rambam addresses that question directly. It seems to be that there's a machlokas, various tanoim, both about dogim and about ben pakua. There's a discussion about the seir b'yom kippurim as well. Right? The Gemara has this in Zvachim. At what point does that become tamei lekabel tumas ochel? Okay. So what would be the point? I mean, they disagree with the concept kol shehu chai inam etamei tumah. Maybe they agree that most animals are not mekabel tumah. So what's going on? What's with the nitzod according to Beis Shammai, the trefa according to the other day in the Gemara, the ben pakua? What's the yeah?
If you follow the sheet of the Rambam, it's giving you a point of sheet about dugin.
Okay.
The Rambam is very interesting line there. If I remember dugin,
right, that's sifasam. We discussed that, correct?
So then, if you follow that, then based on my position, very nicely.
Okay, it is still breathing.
Renders them Oakland.
Okay.
Renders them Oakland if the equation is
okay. So basically, so I think that there could be one of two things. One is that that basically what we're really saying is that all in 99% of the cases when you have a bal chai is not an ochel. Right, that's what I was trying to establish before. There is like a continuum in between, you know, between full life and full death, right? And that's what we're discussing before. And then there's an issue of what's an ochel and what's basar and what's not. But just because those are two different issues doesn't mean that there isn't overlap. Most of the time, if something is a chai l'chol advarim, so then it's not ochel. Lu Yitzuyer, you can figure out an exception to that rule that something is already ochel, even though it's chai. So then it's going to be makabel tumah. Because it's not a din of chai per se, it's just that both chai are not basar v'ochel. But if you have a chai which is basar v'ochel for some particular reason, now what would that particular reason be? So okay, it could be asifasan, zui, shchitasan, or it could just be that that's another way of saying that again, its fate is sealed. We no longer look at it as a bal chai because, you know, its destiny is now to be food. And that could explain the ben pakua as well. I think there's another possibility, and that is maybe the issue isn't that mechayim, it becomes basar or becomes ochel, but maybe there's a difference between a balchai, kind of, I don't mean it literally because we're talking about animals, a balchai begavra and a balchai bechefza. In other words, a balchai, normally when we say balchai is not makabel tumah, we mean it's a, again, a gavra slash behema, meaning it's a subject, not an object, is really what I mean. meaning it controls its own destiny in some respects. Meaning you don't look at it as, you know, as food for the table. Maybe it isn't food for the table until it's actually in a state of heter achila. But it doesn't have the status of a subject anymore. The idea is that a subject cannot be makabel tuma, but an object can be makabel tuma. And that might explain also the question of the Seir HaMishtaleach, the discussion of the Gemara in Zvachim. It's harder to say about that it's Ochel. It's not Ochel. Again, to say that the Dagim are Ochel because Asifason, Zuhi, Shkitason, or that's where they're destined, that's their next step, to say that about the Ben Pakua, I think is easier. But if we're talking about Trefa, Eina Chaya, let's say, or we're talking about Yisira Mishtaleach, I think there it's harder to say that it's, you know, barking, breathing, you know, ochel, or even basar. But I think what one can say is that it's no longer, it's now becomes a cheftza, is basically what I'm saying. It's no longer a subject, it becomes an object. And a subject cannot be mistame, but an object can be mistame. Now again, we don't paskin like that Beis Shammai. We don't paskin about Dagim. We don't paskin that Ben Pekua is Makabel Tuma. We don't paskin that the Seir HaMishtaleach is Makabel Tuma. So we could say that Lahalacha, we accept the view that Kol Shehu Chai, Hinu Metame Tumas Ochlin. Right? Chai and Tumas Ochlin are mutually exclusive. Or we might say that the only reason that is true is because you know, they haven't sufficiently turned into a chetza, just because, you know, they've lost their future and, you know, they no longer have the ability to dictate their own fate to any extent. Or now we now look at them in anticipation of what they're going to be as a chetza. That's still not enough to establish either a shem ochel or a shem chetza. But if you did an act of shechita, so even if it was mefarcheses, and mefarcheses technically is still davar chai, but you still might say, well, the shechita is a davar hamachshir linyan achila. And if it isn't achila and basar, it very well may be at least establishing that this chai is now a cheftza and not any longer, again, I don't mean a gavra, but we'll call it in English, a subject. So the point is, it's thrashing around that those are the death throes. Right, that doesn't, it's not life energy anymore, and it's a chetza. So this idea that something could theoretically be chai, and yet it could be either ochel or chetza, and therefore be mekabel tuma, may express itself specifically in mefarcheses, given that the concept or the idea already exists, according to some tanaim, in other cases. Okay, having said that, so now let's look back and see whether or not this issue of Mfarcheses and Tumas Ochlin really is a din in Chai and Meis, or it is a din in Basar and so on, or whether or not there isn't an overlap, because as I said, the more you look at Mfarcheset as Chai, also the less likely you are to see it as already Ochel and or a Cheftza, because it's still alive. The more you see it as not yet dead, right, but basically that's a technicality, the more you see it that way, the easier it is to say, well, it may still technically be chai or may not be meis, but the fact is that it's ochel or it's a cheftza, no longer a bal chai. It's chai, let's say, if you want to find another way to say that. It's chai, but it's not a bal chai. A bal chai is somebody who, you know, a gavra behema. But a chai just means, you know, he's clinging to life, but that's a description, but there's still life force, but basically, it's a cheftza. Okay, so getting back to our, let's first talk about our tosis, and then we'll branch out a little more. So back, Ariel, so you read the tosis, right?
Yes.
Did you read both answers?
No. What?
Ariel?
Yeah.
You read both answers or not? Or
no.
Just the question? So the question again, Afagav darminu lekamon farcheses harei kechaya. So we already pointed out, where does it say that? On Lamed Amud Aleph. But where does the, how does that connect with Kuf Kaf Aleph Amud Beis? Again, Lamed Amud Aleph is talking about Hamad of Aracha. Now, Hamad of Aracha is a very specific halacha, whether you can do pidyon on Kodshim, so you need Hamad of Aracha. And the Gemara there says, Hareu kechaya l'chol dvarel, which basically means you can do it. You can do the pigeon. And they threw in, for good measure, a strong formulation that mefarcheses is chaya. L'chol dvareha. So, but as we pointed out, there are other topics where the issue is much more problematic. Namely, what about Tumas Nevela, Tumas Ochlin, Revia, Tuma Belua, Eivar Minachai, namely that whole cluster that is discussed on Kuf Yud Zayin and Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, which we're going to read in just a couple of minutes. Okay. But either way, Tosa's question is based on the assumption Chaya, Eina. Tosa's quoting Amud of Aracha because they want to highlight Chaya, Eina, Mekabel, Tumas, Ochlin. Okay. So go ahead. So the first answer is Chayshin and Shami Yigach HaPirchos, which basically means what?
Yeah.
Ariel?
Exactly.
In Achanami, it's kechayel lechol davar. In other words, they're quoting Hamada v'Haracha to prove Tumas Ochlin is perfectly proper and legitimate, right? And we're talking about our case la'achar pirchos. Some Achronim ask on this answer. Well, they ask two questions. The technical question is, well, what are we talking about here? The guy is taking a sakin arok, and he's doing shchita so that he won't be metame the basar. So what are you talking about? When is he touching the animal after the pirchos? He slits the animal's simanim, right? And then he goes home. Right? When did he touch the animal after the pirchos? When did he... So this, the metzias is strange. That's a question that some achronim ask. The Netziv discusses it, and Maram Shik and others, Rosh Yosef apparently... I didn't see that directly, but I saw the Maram Shik says the Rosh Yosef discusses this question. That's a good question. That's more of a technical question, so therefore I don't feel it's my responsibility to answer that. But that's a hekatimsi. What's he doing, you know, here exactly? But there's, of course, a much stronger question, and that is the question that I am responsible to answer, and that is, or at least to tell you some answers for, and that is the Rosh Hashanah's question. Namely, what's Rosh Hashanah's question? Daniel?
The Rosh Hashanah asks,
according to the first answer. How can you say this answer?
I thought he asked for the second answer. On the first answer, no?
What's the question on the first time, Eitan?
I thought it was also on the second answer, but I see now why it could go on the first answer. It's a portion of Mishnah.
Why is it a problem with the second answer? The second answer is Inami. Dafka
lini namad baracha. I think the Dibrei Matzil is on the second answer.
Oh, it doesn't make sense. Why is it a problem with the second answer?
Well, that's why I'm
understanding
Rashash.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the question could be, you know, why is he bringing up a Mefurash Mishnah to...
Well, okay. I mean, again, there are questions and there are questions. Okay, but it's which is a stronger question? Why is he bringing up the Mefurash Mishnah that we should all know, or that it's against the Mefurash Mishnah?
Oh, okay.
Right? I think even, you know, the Meiri and Akiva would agree. Right? So, I only say that because Akiva can take that. He has broad shoulders. The Rosh Hashanah is asking a very strong question. Namely, the first answer of Tosis is saying, in Achanami, there shouldn't be Tumas Ochlin, because Pirchos is kechayel lechol advarim, so you're right, there's no Tumas Ochlin, unless he happens to stick around with that shechita knife till after all the spasms and twitchings end. Okay, so the practical question, you know, what's going on? What's this guy doing? You know, what happened to Empire, you know, you know, I don't know if anybody saw the Empire Chicken video. It was a very big favorite in our family for many years. But, you know, 1,000 chickens, you know, an hour or something. They're not waiting around to, you know, to finish off the pirchos. Okay. The point is that the Mishnah question is powerful. The Mishnah says explicitly on Kuf Yud Zayin that Mefarcheses is Metame Tumas Ochlin. What's Tosas talking about? That's what Rosh Hashanah asks. The Karile, my Karile, what are you talking about? Okay. So again, it could be the Brahmasal is misleading, but the Rosh Hashanah's question is a very strong question. What's the answer to that question? So again, the question is such a good question that I was looking around to see some of that Corona, but they speak about it. So the Maram Shik says, obviously, the first day of Tosis holds that the Tumas Ochlin part of the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Zayin is only a Din Drabanan. That is wild. Again, you read the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Zayin, you don't get the impression that it's Drabanan. It is a challenging Mishnah because it seems to be challenging us to make distinctions, but we're being told that Kiyotzebo, Ashochet Behemet Meil, Ovikochavim, Umefarcheset, Metama Tumas Ochlin, Avalo, Tumas Nevelos, Achetamus, Oachiatis Rosha. No one reading that Mishnah is going to say that that's a Dindrabana.
The opposite of Shitas Rashi, who says this Rachila after the is only Dindrabana.
Say that again? Oh. I mean Rashi on Kuf Kavalafu Beis.
Yeah,
which we'll get to in a minute. But that could be Lo Sochel Ol Adam. That's just.
Okay.
We'll get to that. You're right. Maybe the Asmachta. But the. What's going on here? So that's a radical Shita. But we can understand what drove the Maram Shik to it. Namely, Tulsa is saying, but the Mishnah says still that it's Metama Tumas Meis. So what are we talking about here? It's one thing to say it's Drabanan, just because it's Drabanan doesn't mean it's not a problem. The answer is Ein Gozrin, this is the Maram Shik, Ein Gozrin Gzeira L'Gzeira. Right? To be Metame Behema Mufar Chesed is a Din Drabanan. Right? To worry that you know you're going to do that, which is what the Gemara says here, that if it's Mukdashim L'Chatkila Lo Yishchot. So basically, you're worried because of the Tuma. That's a Gzeira L'Gzeira. That's a Maram Shik. First day of Tosis holds, Tumas Ochlin's only Dindraban. That's a very radical Shita. Okay. The Netziv says something different. Again, I was looking around. The Netziv in Rome Sada says, well, we're talking about Mukdashim. Okay, and this relates to what Kiva just brought up a second ago. We're talking about Mukdashim. So he says, what happens is, you shech this kadshim, right? And basically, it's mifar chesed. You can't eat it right now. Why can't you eat it? Lo sochel al adam. So a Jew can't eat it. A non-Jew can't eat it because it's mukdashim. He says, since it's talking about mukdashim, so no one can eat it, so it's not metame tumas ochlim. The case of the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Zayin Beis is a case of chulin. So even though you can't eat it because lo sochel al adam, as long as it's twitching, right? But you can always feed it to a non-Jew. So it has a shem ochel. But it doesn't have a shem ochel if neither you nor the non-Jew can eat it during the pirchos. Hence, no tumas ochel. That is the Netziv solution. That's very innovative, but yeah.
Isn't it Eber Minachai from the non-Jew during Pirchos?
Is it Eber Minachai? Well, that depends on the Machlokas Chizkia and Rabbi Yochanan. Right. Now, which we'll get to in a second. But that's the argument between Chizkia and Rabbi Yochanan. Except that it not according to Rashi. Not Rashi says that even Rabbi Yochanan will agree to Chizkia when it's a Shechita Tahora. And if it's a Shechita, a Behema Tahora, and Yisrael is Shochet, according to Rashi, even Rabbi Yochanan will agree that there's no problem of Eber Menachai, because Leke Midi, the Yisrael Asur, Ula Akum Mutter. So according to Rashi, within Rabbi Yochanan, which sounds that way in the Gemara, we'll read the Gemara in a minute, but according to Rashi, within Rabbi Yochanan, Lekula Alma non-Jew could eat it, if not for the problem of Mukdashim. Anyway, so the Netziv solution is very, very creative. But basically, it's based on a certain assumption. And that assumption is that what we're dealing, getting back to our bigger question, is this question all about the continuum of Misa and Chaim? Or is it about Shem Ochel, Inyan Tumas Ochel? The Netziv certainly has to assume that, Daniel?
Because it's not ochel to anybody.
Tumas ochel, because the question of mukdashim or not mukdashim presumably has nothing to do with the question of chayim and mavis, right? So for that reason, you would have to say, according to the Netziv, that the issue here, again, there may be overlaps of Chaim and Maves, but basically what we're really talking about is shame, ochel, with the added assumption also that just because for technical reasons a guy can't eat it because it's mugnashim, right, and a Jew can't eat it because lo sochel adam, so for, again, there's an Isser Gavra for the Jew, there's an Isser Gavra for the Akum. Even if one were to say that everything depends on heter achila for somebody, right, one could have said, yeah, intrinsically, right? I mean, the shechita is complete. As far as its heksher, heter, abasar, it's complete. So the Tzitzit is making two assumptions. This whole issue is about shame ochel. Secondly, shame ochel has to have a practical outlet of some sort. If it doesn't have any practical outlet, then in Okanami, according to the first day of Tosis, the only struggling to explain, the second day of Tosis is fine. Right? The second day of Tosis says, Hamadav HaRacha is the exception. It's not really, well, we'll get to the second day of Tosis in a minute. Okay. Let's just sort of focus on the first day of first. Yeah. There's a third possibility. All right, did you want to say something?
Oh, it could be that this is the third possibility, so.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to suggest my focus on Sugyos.
Well, I mean, it's a Mishnah. It's not a sugyas. It's a Mishnah that no one ever argued with.
But we have a, if we're armed with the Rabbi Akiva Eger, then we
say
can,
that
if we're armed with the Rabbi Akiva Eger, if we use Rabbi Akiva Eger, then we could say that the Gemara on Laman Amin Aleph is based on and then we could say Kof Kaf Aleph is its own, you know.
Which Rabbi Akiva Eger are you talking about? The Rabbi Akiva Eger is
on Daf. The Rabbi Akiva Eger on Daf Lamed, who connects the
to Pei Dalet.
Connects the Mishnah to Miela. Sorry, to Miela.
Okay.
And then we could say that Kof Yud Zayin is its own, you know, is
right. But does the Mishnah in Miela contradict the Mishnah in Kof Yud Zayin?
Well, we could say that, meaning l'chol devarez, mamash l'chol devarez, and then we could say that
Tumas Ochel. Okay, maybe. I thought you were saying something different. But I hear. Maybe. Maybe. The Rav thought one could say a third thing. This is very closely connected to the Netziv, but it's without some of the... it's without the more pragmatic element of it. And that is as follows. Is it conceivable that the Shechita B'Tahara, Shel Yisrael B'Behema Tahora, actually is more stringent in this respect than Goy B'Tahora Yisrael B'Tmeya? Right. Intuitively, we would think, if anything, the opposite. Right? Especially if you read Rashi and Kuf Kapala from the base, and I thought you were talking about the other point of Rabbi Akiva Eger, namely, excuse me, Pei Dalet, Tosas on Pei Dalet, Amud Aleph, and Tosas in other places, Tosas in Bechoros, and Tosas in Erechin, and the two Tosas in Bava Kama, right? So we know, and we'll analyze this more in a minute, but we know that what are they basically saying? Jason?
When you, really saying that Fachasas is Fachasas,
but
it's not a good
Shechita. Yeah. That's if it's a Shechita, which is not Machshula, it's a good Shechita, but it's not Machshula Achila. But if you had a shechita and a behema tahora, Yisrael, behema tahora, even hamara v'haracha, right, would be excluded. It would be kamei skamor. The only thing you have to ask according to Tosis is, and what about tumas neveil? But that's a theoretical question. Okay. Why is that a theoretical question? Because it's a shechita tahora, so there's no tumas neveil. But what I mean is, if not for that little small, you know, definitional problem, when, you know, would we go so far as to say that it's mace enough for Tumas Nevela too? I think that's a very important question. So we'll get back to that. But basically the whole point is that the there's a whole group of Tosas, and not just Tosas, Rashi also in Bava Kama, right, who have this view that that if we're talking about Shechita Tahora Behema Tahora, Shechita Behema Tahora, but Shel Yisrael, that certainly it's kemes. Even Linya and Hamad of Arachah. The only question I'm raising now is what about Nevela? Could Lu Yitzur there had been a case? Okay. But what about the opposite possibility? That is, instead of focusing on the fact that Kal V'Chomer, it's even more of a mace, maybe it's less of a mace. How can it be less of a mace? Only from one point of view. And that brings up the question of losochal alada. Gemara says in Kuchav Aleph Amud Beis, losochal aladam. Well, the Gemara doesn't quote losochal aladam, but the Gemara says you're not allowed, makes it clear that you're not allowed to eat the animal as long as it's mefarcheses. Correct? You have to wait till the animal stops thrashing about before you are allowed to eat it. But then you're allowed to eat it. Okay. Yisrael can eat it, a non-Jew can eat it. That's what the Gemara seems to say. So Rashi quotes, that's what Akiva was referring to, right? Rashi quotes, well, what's the issue? Based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin. What does the Gemara say in Sanhedrin? Lav Shemeklalos, Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, Kedetanya Barba Misos, Mamdin Lach Tetei Nafsha, Kedetanya Barba Misos, Minayin Locha Behema Konim Shetetei Nafsha, Shubalos Hasei Shenema Losochol Adam, Biasmachta Drabanim Bialmai. So Rashi adds, gratuitously I might add, meaning there's absolutely no reason why he had to add that here except that he believed it to be true, which is reason enough. Meaning there's nothing in the sugya here that would lead you to add this point, but Rashi says that Losochol Adam is only a din drabanan and it's an asmachta. Right, the Gemara has like five or six different limudim from, you know, based on losochal alada. They can't eat the, you know, the behemoth before the zrika, can't eat before davening, all sorts of like really wide-ranging, very different halachas. Okay, so Rashi says this one happens to be a din drabanan. However, if you look at the Rambam, the Rambam holds this as a din drabanan or a din d'oraisa. Where does he talk about it? When? Hilchos Shechita, right in the beginning. Oh, did I not bring my... Yeah, I should have brought Kedusha. Anybody who has the regular Rambam? Shechita? Perek Aleph Halacha Beis? No one has it? Rambam? Go ahead, Michael, go ahead. Aleph Beis or Gimel? I think it's Beis already. I think it's even Beis, right in the beginning. Again, the Asr Lechol. Where does he get that? Where does that come from? Gemara in Kuchav Aleph Amud Beis. Okay. Does it sound like the Rambam holds that's a din drabanan? No. Moreover, the Rambam quotes his halacha in Hilchos Shechita, which is where he should quote it. But the point is, why is it no malchus? Because halav shebeklalos. I mean, losochal adam just is teaching us too many halachos. So you're going to be loka on the ikar, but not on the tafa. That's the Rambam shita in Sefer HaMitzvot. It's about halav shebeklalos. One of the, you know, the most famous example of all time is losochal adam of halav shebeklalos, and that's why there's no malchus. But it doesn't sound like the Rambam, like Rashi, thinks that it's a din drabanan and that it's an asmachta, right? Moreover, the Rambam uses the language, this is what the Rav's diuk was, mishchit, v'lo yochal, something mishchitoso, correct? I mean, you read it a second ago? Osir lechol, kol zman shim farcheses. Yeah. V'osir lechol min hashchuta. So why does he add the words min hashchuta? So the Rav thought that lo sochal al adam, this is the question, of course. Is losochal adam an extraneous iser? No, you did the shechita perfectly. And the matir shechita, the iser, and the veil, everything is completely gone. However, there's another din that's called losochal adam. And losochal adam is ma'akev li'achila. But mitzad shechita and shem ochel, it's ochel gamor. Or does the Rambam mean to tell us that this is a din in shechita, and basically that until the end of the pirchos, because of the isra of losochal adam, that's ma'akev the gemara shechita. So if that's true, then you would have the following ironic but interesting situation. Namely, if you are shochet a behema tmeya, right? So, or if a non-Jew is shochet a behema tahora, so then you don't gauge the impact of that shechita in this halacha of tumas ochlim. You don't gauge that on the basis of the hechsher ha-ochel, or the heter ha-shechita, because either way it's asur, right? It's just that, as Rashi explains in the entire sugya, and the Rambam explains it this way as well, in Ilchos Tumas Ochlin, that since yesh ki yotze bo bi Yisrael shechita mal yasa, so it's an stam machsheves ochlin, we view this as a ochel in Ilchos Tumas Ochlin, even though there's no heter. That's all you need to do. So you have this, you have this shem ochel, which is sufficient for tumas ochlim, and once it's a shem ochel, it's metame, because it's subject to tumas ochlim. However, the higher standard of heter shechita in shechita behema tahora al yidei Yisrael is such that we kind of delay the maisa and the certainly the hechsher. And the heter of the shechita until we rid ourselves of the problem of the sochel al adam, if we assume it isn't extraneous. So there's no tumas ochlin. Maybe. So that would be another explanation for the first day of Tosis. Okay, so just to sum up so far, the first day of Tosis is very difficult because it seems to be against the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Zayin. A. The Maram Shik says, yes, according to first day of Tosis, a really radical and important shita, I just don't know. You know, it's very much a shita siachid, but it is interesting. Namely, tumas ochlin bepirchus is only drabanan. You have to understand if tumas ochlin bepirchus is only drabanan, so then you know tumas nevela is sweeping this contest basically. What we're really saying is it really is kachay l'kol dvar, basically. It's going to be basically kachay l'kol hadvarim. You just have to contend maybe with Eber Menachai. According to Rabbi Yochanan. That's about it. That's the Maram Shik. Then you have the Netziv, who basically suggests that everything depends on Lemaisa, whether anybody has an immediate heter achila, and that's why he's mechalik between Mukdashim and Chulin. Right? And the combination of, he's also using L'Sochal Adam. L'Sochal Adam for Yisrael, and the Iser Lechal Kadshim for a non-Jew. Assuming in both cases that an Iser Gavra, Lechal Asabasar, transforms into a lack of shemochel in yomtumas neis. That's the Netziv's idea. Now the Rav's suggestion is an ironic and interesting one, and that is that if you hold a sochel al adam, isn't just a separate iser, but it really is ma'akev in the heter shechita. So then, ironically, shechitas basar tahar al yidei Yisrael is held to a higher standard, and therefore there'll be no tumas ochlim until after Pirkos, Mash Enkein, the Shechita, which is ineffective, right, but still has the ability to transmit Tumas Ochlim through the Stam, which otherwise would require a Machshava, namely to Mashva Osaka Ochel, that just depends on an objective Maisa Shechita, it doesn't depend on Heter Shechita, and therefore the fact that there is no Heter Achila is irrelevant. Okay. What about the second answer of Tosas? So that's the first answer of Tosas. What about the second answer of Tosas? Ariel, go back to that for a second. Again, which is also another reason why it would be hard to say that Tosas just rejects the Mishnah, or thinks that the Machlokas is a Mishnah, because the second answer is quoted in the Mishnah. It's hard. Hard to think that the Machlokas revolves around whether the Mishnah is true or not.
Well,
okay,
it would be the two different answers are whether or not a person wants to go this far as to say that you know that there is Machlokas and Sugyas.
And to say he doesn't, you would want to say that if you felt it, if you accept the Mishnah no matter what, but you just think this is a different case. That might be a different matter. Yeah.
It's possible the easiest shot is that Tosaf didn't think that his first answer was good enough because it contradicted or didn't take into consideration
Mishnah,
and that's why he offers a second shot, which takes into consideration.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's a Mishnah, so.
But you need to explain that Tosaf has two answers.
Yeah, I think you have to say something. Again, one of these three things or something else, but you have to say something. Okay. Now this answer of Tosis, Dafkalinin Amadav Aracha, Havakachaya, Avalinin Tuma, so what is the exception and what is the rule? So you could say, you start off reading Dafkalinin Amadav Aracha, Havakachaya. Right? Avalinin Tuma, Kim Tshakot Shnayim, Rov Shnayim, Mekabelas Tuma, I would have said the Chashuv Kemes. The exception is Hamadav Aracha. That would be one way to read Tosis. That's not what the words of Tosis say, but one certainly could have said that. Hamadav Aracha is the exception. Why? Because Hamadav Aracha, right? Who says that it really has anything to do with Misa and Chaim at all? Right? I mean, the real category is there is Hamadav Aracha. It's Exeris HaKasuv, fine, but basically what we care about is that it has movement. Right, that it's subject to Hamada, and therefore it's subject to Haracha. Hamada is a precondition for Haracha. Is there Hamada? It's moving around, it has movement. That's sufficient. So one could have said that Hamada of Haracha is the exception. But, basically, it's Kemes L'chol Advar. But Tosas themselves don't say that. Instead, they transition to quotes a Mishnah. And then he says, "Aval." I'm sorry. Kim Shem Rav Shem Mekabelas Tuma the Chashiv Ochel. Instead, Tosas says the Chashiv Ochel. So it could be that Tosas is just saying that you know, as long as it's not Chai, so then it can be an Ochel. We're talking about Tumas Ochel after all. Meaning, it's not enough that it be not Chai. It has to also be an Ochel. It would be an Ochel as long as you can rid yourself of the problem of Chai. And this is what Tosas means, that Hamadav Aracha is the exception. Or is Tosas saying, gets us back to our 2 points before, in which case, again, this whole topic is all about Mitchila V'Atsof, the continuum of Chaim and Maves. Or is Tosas saying, Hamadav Aracha is about Chaim and Maves, and as far as that's concerned, it's Kechaya. However, Tumas Ochlim is about Shem Ochel. So I think those are two ways to read Tosis. The two ways that we were talking about before. Now, if you read it that basically it's Chai L'chol Advar, Meis L'chol Advarim, so then you're going to have trouble with the Tumas Nevelos. So how come Tumas Nevelos is different? Right? Now, if you take the view like the Maram Shik or that whole explanation. So then the problem is to explain Tumas Ochel. If it's the Chai L'chol Advarim, how can there be Tumas Ochel? But if you say it's Kemes L'chol Advarim, and Hamadav Aracha is the exception because it's moving around, so if it's Kemes L'chol Advar, why shouldn't there be Tumas Nevela? Right. So I think one could say here one of several things. Number one, we could say what we just said about Hamadav Aracha. Meaning as long as there's any kind of movement, there is no Tumas Nevela. That's one possibility. The other possibility is, it doesn't depend on Meis and Chai, it could be Meis, in other words, but as long as there's some sort of movement, that's not a Nevela. Let's give you an example where we get that from. The language of the Rambam regarding Tumas Neis. Not available, but Neis. Perek Aleph Halacha Tezvav. And he may not mean this, but Rambam says, Hameis Eino Metami Ad Sheteitze Natsho. This is an interesting language. Let's say it's a similar case. A human being dies, right? What's the moment of death? This is obviously a hugely important issue. The question of Atazas Rosh, of course, as you know, which is referred to the Mishnah here in Cholin, and again the Mishnah in Alos, is like one of the main sources for what is today a very big controversy. The whole question of brainstem death, capitation of the skull, is considered Misa. Right? And the question is whether or not Al-Pidin, that's part of the big fight right now, whether or not, you know, how you define, is there such a thing as physiological capitation, which isn't physical capitation. Anyways, Hamesen Matame Achetetse Nafsho, Afilo Meguyad Ogoses, Afilo Nishkat Boshnea Simonim, Ena Matame Achetetse Nafsho, Shenemer Benefesh Adam Asher Yamos, Nishbara, Mifrakta, Rov Basar Imo, Shenikra, Kedag, Migabo, O Shehutaz Rosho, Shenechdach, Shenechalokim, Bibitno, Harizam Matame Afabishadai Mirafev, Beechad Mevar. What's interesting about this Rambam is, number one, he keeps using the expression Achetetse Nafsho. For Tumas Meis, it depends on Achetetse Nafsho. Of course, by the way, Tumas Meis and Retzach may not be the same issue. That's also part of it. He calls it Hameis Eino Metame Achetetse Nafsho. It sounds like he's acknowledging that we're dealing with Meis, but Achetetse Nafsho, which is expressed by some sort of movements, as long as there is, you know, the full body is still intact. Even though he's a mace, he's not metame agitates in Afsha. In Tumas Nevela, the Rambam, Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, Behema Ochaya Tmeya Shenishkata Ena Metama Mishum Nevela Kozman Shima Farchasis Adche Tamus O Adche Yatiz Esrosha Vareu Ka'ochlin Tmeya. Here the Rambam says ad she tamus. Doesn't say mace is not metame ad she, you know, teitzei nafsho or shelo mifarcheset. So again, tumas adam, tumas mace. It sounds like the Rambam is speaking within mace. There's still a requirement of teitzei nafsho. Within tumas nevela, it sounds like the Rambam is defining it as misa itself. Problem with the Rambam, Oachiyatis Rosha, Varik, Ochlin Tmeim, etc. Problem with the Rambam is that if you look at his psak in Tumas Ochlin, what is it there? Beis Dalin, or is that it? Beis Vav? Kola Ochlin Shehen Mibali Chayim, as I mentioned before, that line of the Gemara on Ayin Heyam Aleph in Chulin, which says, any animal, any chai is not Makabal Toma. Right, the Rambam quotes that line, Dafka, in the context of the Parcheses, which shows that we're right to put these two sugyas together. Kola Ochlin Shehen Mibali Chayim, Ena Makabal Toma Chiyamusim. So basically, the category that the Rambam is using here is Misa and Chayim. Sounds like the Rambam is saying, as long as an animal is Chay, it cannot be Matami Tumas Ochlin. Ad Shiyamusim. Shochad Behem Chay Va'ov Hafa Bishadayin Heim Mefarchasin Mekablin Tuma. What does that mean? That Pirchos is considered mace. If you translate the Rambam, not that it's considered, of course it's also considered ochel, but the point is it's not ochel chai, it's ochel meis. The category for the Rambam here is chai and meis. The dagim meimasai mekabim tuma mishiyamusu. Again, the Rambam is linking the sugya on ayin hamad aleph with the sugya on kuf chaf aleph omid beis. Nolad behen treifa v'nitmu kashem misnanadin. That's what we're referring to before. Ariyesh bedavar safek, I mean, chashuvim kemesim hold the nitrifu, or ina makabim tumad shiyadamu ke'even below yisnadnadu. And so on. Point is that this Rambam and the Rambam in Perek Beis, Hilchos Sherav Satuma, seem to be contradictory. In both cases, the Rambam says Tumas Ochlin depends on Misa, and Tumas Nevela depends on Misa. The Rambam in Hilchos Erchin says what? David? See it? Ari? Well, you know, how does he paskin number one, and what's the, is there anything significant about it? You know? Correct. He says kechaya lechol. What is it? Perek.
Hey
Gimel. Hamakdish is beso. Is that the right one? What is it? Hey Yud Gimel. Shachat v'shnayim arov shnayim v'dainim v'farchesed harei kechaya lechol devareha v'nereches. Arehi bechlal behemid beherich adchatamus. Here the Rambam says, again, what would have been happier if he just said that arehi bechlal behemid beherich adchatamus. The phrase kechaya lechol devareha. Right, again, it's a ki, it's a chaf adimyon. The other places he doesn't say ki, he says harei umeis or harei uchai. But the point is that the Rambam seems to have taken the position that everything depends on chai and meis. However, the definition of chai and meis for different halachos varies. In some cases, in Tumas Nevela, right, Pirchos is not considered to be meis. In Tumas Ochon, it is considered to be meis. In Hamad Avaracha, it's considered to be chai. In Isurei Bia, right, in the context of Rabia, it's considered to be chai. Again, that's maybe why the Magen Mishnah jumps in and says, Harei kechai l'chol devareha, there you don't need to say it, even. Again, Tosa says it also. The Rambam seems to take the position that all these issues depend on chai and mace. But instead of doing what I'm suggesting now, to say, well, there's a chai and there's a mace, and then there are exceptions. Tumas Ochlim can apply even b'chai. Or maybe there's no Tumas Nevela, even though it's a mace because it still has movement. Or Hamadav Aharacha only depends on movement. There, for sure, it shouldn't depend on chai and mace. There's no reason it should have to. Instead of doing that, the Rambam's view was different definitions of chai and meis for different issues. But in fact, one could take this other approach, and in Tosas, second daya, I think there are two ways, as I said, to read it. One is it's ochel, even though it is chai, and Hamad of Haracha remains the basic category, and that's why there's no Tumas Nevela. Tumas Ochel is the exception. Or, what we're really saying is, it's basar because it's meis, and tumas nevela shiny, because that depends on, like a yitzias neshama, like what the Rambam said in Hukos tumas meis, or maybe it depends on another point, let me just explain this, and that is maybe it depends on cheftza shel meis, tumas nevela, as opposed to din meis. Mashal lamad davar dome, what we talked about in Cher v'Reu Kachala. We talked about Tumas Shanazir Megalei Achalav, right? There are Dine Tumas Meis, and then there's the Chefta Shal Meis itself. Maybe the Rambam thinks that as long as it's not the Rambam, but maybe those who believe that the exception is Nevela will say that to be Nevela you need a Chefta Shal Meis. Rashi keeps saying, the Pasuk says, Meis, Dine Meis are not enough. And this also could be substantiated, perhaps, by the language, possibly, I think there are two ways to read it again, of the Mishnah on Kuf Kaf Aleph, of the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Zayin. So let's turn to that for a moment. Ariel, you want to continue to do the honors? I neglected you for so long that we just have to make up for it, right? Okay, let's see if we can stop there. So what do you make of this? Is there something to say here or not? I mean, it's a fascinating Mishnah, we'll all agree about that, but there's something in particular I'm looking for. there's a phrase here which is just, you know, screaming out and saying Darshani. Ariel? Which one? Absolutely. What do I mean by what do we mean by that?
I mean, they don't seem, besides the fact that they're both differentiating between two and all followers and some of the Bela, there's no real connection between the two.
Exactly. The Mishnah links together two points of distinction between Tumas Ochel and Tumas Neveh. The first one, the beginning of the Mishnah, Ariel is talking about what?
Talking about being
mitzarev different. Yeah, just being mitzarev different, we'll call them accessories or adjuncts to, right, the or, the rotev, the kippah, the olol, the atzamos, the gidin, the kronayim, the tefayim. Right? I mean, the things that are, you know, kind of attachments or connected, are they also mitzura flashir? Are they mitzari flashir le'inyan tumas ochel? So we're saying tumas ochlin, yes, avalo le'tumas nevelos. And then it says kiyotze bo, the same thing, hashoche behemet me lo v'kachavim farcheses metamet tumas ochlin avalo metamet tumas nevela achetamos achetahitizas rosha. What? Well, what does one thing have to do with the other? Here we're talking about tzirah flashir. There we're talking about the definition of chayim and maves or something. Right? We're talking about the a totally different idea. The status of mefar chesed. What is the kiyotzebo? So Ariel's correct in what he says, both in pointing it out, and unless kiyotzebo just means that we're listing other distinctions between tumas neveil, I'm sorry. And Tumas Ochle, which is very possible. Okay. We're not going to preclude that idea. However, maybe there's something more at play. And the problem is, I think that the explanation could be in one of two directions, and they cover both of our issues. What have we been discussing? Is the problem here all a problem of in the continuum of Misa D'Chayim, with everything in between? Right? Or is it that we're dealing with two different ideas here? Misa D'Chayim on one hand, Ochel, Basar and non-Ochel Basar on the other hand. I think that both the explanations could work with the Kiyotze. The first one is, basically the din of Tumas Ochlin is not a din in Chaim and Maves. It's a din in Ochel and Basar. And that's exactly what the Mishnah is telling us. The reason that Kranayim and Atzamos and Gidim, if you were talking about the mace, the chefza, in that sense, you could make a strong case. These are not really part of the actual behema. But the point is that Tumas Ochlim is a din in Shem Ochel. They may not be basar, but they're Ochel. They're the little, the little things that go with it. But when you're talking about Tumas Nevela, there it's the Chefza Shel Mace. It's the animal. Right? So these are attachments. The Or, the Rotev, the Kippah, the Olo, the Atzamos, the Gidin, the Kranayim, the Fai, they're all add-ons. They're not really part of the actual Guf. But in Tumas Ochel, who needs the Guf? The Mechayiv is the Shem Ochel. As a Shem Ochel, the Or and the Atzamos, they're all part of the Ochel. So it's Kiyotzebo. Then we come to Mefarcheset, and we're saying Kiyotzebo, meaning Mefarcheset, if you're interested in Chaim and Maves, if you're interested in the animal, is it alive, is it dead? It's alive. But it's already an Ochel. For the same reason that you can expand the definition, the adjuncts are all part of the shiur, so too, afilu b'mefar chesed, there is tumas basar. Not just because, we're more flexible in both cases. The flexibility is interconnected. Or if you take the other approach, which is, everything is about chayim and mabes. So what's the difference between tumas ochlin and nevela? Again, so Maram Shik, according to the first day, is saying, you're right, there's not, it's a din d'rabbanan. And our approach a second ago was, you're right. What sets the tone for Chaim and Maves? That's Nevela. Tumas Ochlin? That's Basar Ochel. But if you don't say that, what are you going to say? So what I'm suggesting now is there are two different ideas. One is the Chaim and Maves, and the other is Chefs Shel Meis. So the point is that, again, if you want to know what has a din of Behema Mesa, which is Mukhsheres LeKabel Tuma, also the Gidim and the Kranayim and the Tlafayim and Mifar Chesed, is from that point of view Metame Tumas Ochlet, has a din of Mace. As a din of mace, just like the Or and the Karnayim and everything else, have a din of Basar, the Mitzuruf to the Basar. But if you're talking about Tumas Nevela, right, the whole point is the Chefetz Shel Meis itself. That's why no add-ons. And for that reason, it's not din mace, it's mace. Again, Rashi keeps emphasizing, the Pasuk says mace. Almost like the Rambam's emphasis in the Zeros about Nazir Shemegaleach Alav. So that might explain the Kiyotzebo. Either of these explanations explain the Kiyotzebo. Tumas Ochlim, Tumas Nevela, two very different dinim. Okay. So that's the Mishnah. Then the Gemara goes on. I guess we're going to have to stop here. Well, we'll finish this up on Thursday, but let's also start... I'm not going to give you more Ma'am Kamos yet, but I want to just do the survey. We're going to start Thursday, but I want to finish up. First, I want to just finish up going through the Shakla Vitaria here in light of our two Mahalchim, how to read the whole topic. Just how do you read Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan and the Safek about Tuma Blua? Just the Shakla Vitaria here on Kufyud, Tesla the Days. But let me just add one other thing. We still have to discuss the question of Behema, Shachat Behema Tahora. Let me just throw it out for a second. Again, our Tosis assumes on base on the base that there's no difference between Shachat Behema Tahora and Goy Shachat or Yisrael Shachat Tmeya. Right? Because if our Tosis had assumed that there was a difference, Ariel, then even Hamad of Haracha would not be Kechaya L'chol Devareha. Right, our Tosfos assumes that the Gemara Daf Lamed Amud Aleph of Hamad of Haracha applies, and yet we have a problem. Now, our case is not a case of Akum Sheshachat Behema Tmeya. Our case is not a case of Yisrael Sheshachat Behema Tahora or Behema LaAkum. Right, I should say the other way: Akum Sheshachat Behema Tahora or Yisrael Sheshachat Behema Tmeya. That's not our case. We're talking about Tamei B'Mukdashin. Right. So our Tosis assumes against Tosis on Pei Dalet and that Deya in Tosin Bechoros and Tosin Erchin and Tosin Balakama that we're mechalik between a Shechita of Behema Tahora Al Yidei Yisrael and everything else. Okay. Our Tosis assumes against that. The Rambam also assumes against that. And the Rambam makes it perfectly clear, both in the context of Hamad of Haracha in Perek Hey Hilchos Erchin, right, and in some of the other Rambams that we just read, the Rambam is not mechalek between the cases. Right, the Rambam assumes that any shechita of mefarcheses is metami tumas ochlin, not metami tumas nevela, and it's considered hamada sufficient for hamada b'haracha. Okay, the Rambam doesn't make the distinction, but according to the Bali Tosis who do, so what's going on? What's this distinction? Because already the shechita is sufficient to create tumas ochlin. So what is it about shechita tahora, right, that takes it a step further and lets you say, you know, that not even hamad of haracha? And I raised the question: maybe in theory, if there was such a case, even tumas nevela. Again, there's no case because it's a shechita tahora, so it's metame mitumas nevela. But had it not been, would this have been enough misa for tumas nevela or not? I should add that the Rashash, no, not the Rashash, the think the Rashash. The Rashash assumes not, although he doesn't say it so explicitly. The Rashash on Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. If you just get a chance to look at the two Rashashes on Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis also. He assumes not. I mean, he assumes that even according to the Balei Tosfos, who say that Shechita Tahora, right, removes Hamada V'Haracha, in theory there still would be no Tumas Nevela had there been such a Heichat Timtzum. But I'm not so sure about it. Now the truth is, again, the effect of... So what is this added component that may even have neutralized the problem of Tumas Nevela, but at least takes care of Hamada V'Haracha? Now, again, if you say Hamada V'Haracha requires to be Kechaya L'Chol Dabar, and it isn't just about movement, well, there's Hamada V'Haracha, because it's Hamada. Hamada means movement. It's not, you know, still as a stone. Okay, if it requires to be still as a stone, then it doesn't matter what kind of formal legal shechita you do. Right? Either way, it's Hamada V'Haracha. So clearly, what's going on in the Balei Tosfos? I think it's possible to suggest that what the Balei Tosfos holds is as follows. That view of the Balei Tosfos, not our Tosfos, not the Rambam, but that view of Tosfos. What they hold is that if you have a Shechita Malyasa, but one which is not Matir Lachila, so then basically they're going the route of Inochanami. This is not mace, or it's not mace gamor, anyway. However, there is a shame ochel. But that shame ochel is going to help you for tumas ochlim. It's not going to help you for hamada v'haracha. But if you have a shechita kshera, which is matir, so al pidin, that is mafkia, the shame chai. And therefore, Hamada V'Haracha, if you assume it depends legally on Chai L'Chol Davar, the legal status of Shechita Kshera, which is Matir B'Basar, not just the technical Maisa Shechita, which is Minastam, is Mechashev L'Shem Ochel, that's Koveya Hafkaas Chai. And maybe that would even be enough L'Inyan Tumas Neveh. Except that, again, it's a proper shechita, so it's not. So it's metar miday tumas nevela that would have been. You could even make the case that if there wasn't tahara mi tumas nevela, maybe it wouldn't be mach shel yochel. Not sure about that. But that depends on things we discussed earlier in the year. So if that's the case, so then we would want to see whether or not it applies to other things as well. For example, Revia. Right, the Gemara seems to be poshet. I'm going to stop. Then when it comes to Revia, that it's, again, Tosa says Kechai, Magid Mishnah says Kechai, but even the Gemara doesn't say Kechai, says that there's an Iser and a Chi of Misa. Right? She's Baal, Behema, Mefar Cheses. What's the halacha? Chaya, we treat it as Chaya. Let's say the Behema got a Shechita. It was a behemoth tahora which got a shechita, proper shechita, al yidei Yisrael. So Tosas and Ayin Dalet on the base discusses that question. Tosas says afal bichem, it won't help.
That's the first.
Yeah, two days.
The second day.
Yeah. So that's what the Rashash quotes. Yeah. So that's Tosas and Ayin Dalet on the base, and that's what the Rashash also quotes. Tosas quotes Rashash on Kuf Chafala from a base quotes a Tosas on Ayin Dalet on a base as well. But I think it could be that is exactly the question. Namely, do we go so far as to say that this is Kovei Elin and Chaim Ramabes? Or it could be the Inami, that's why the Rashash quotes it, is that Revia is a whole different story. Revia doesn't depend on Chaim and Mavis alone. Rashash says maybe it depends on Hana. Which also may explain Rashi, in light of Tosas's objection. Rashi says that, you know, we Abaye Paskin in Tuma Balua as a Safek, as a Chumrah. And then Tosas says, but up the very next line, we have the case of Rabia, and there it seems Vadai Kechaya L'Choldabar. So where, what happened to the Safek? So it could be, the Rashash doesn't say this, I'm saying in light of what he says, it could be that the whole Sugya of Rabia is just a different issue. Or we draw the line differently, even on the continuum of Chaim and Maves, even though we go further with Shechita Tahora than we do with Shechita Tmeya, but it still doesn't reach the point of Tumas Nevela, maybe? In which case, for Rabia, it wouldn't be enough either. So this, just analyzing this continuum, we'll just finish it up on Thursday. Okay. Isn't it what?